Want to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time? And I'd like you to turn to Matthew 6 and 9. Amen. It's a special day. I don't always preach on the theme of the day, but I feel God has given me something to help some people this morning. Matthew 6 and 9, Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore." In other words, do it this way. Pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." The first part of this Lord's Prayer is acknowledging someone as your Father who should be hallowed. Amen. And then if you turn to Proverbs, chapter 17, verse number 6. "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Children's children, grandchildren, are the glory of old men. Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word this morning. You know what our needs are here. And God, you're cognizant of everything that we need and all of our feelings and all of our desires. But we desire that you have your holy way. Allow your word to go forth unhindered. Touch it, make it alive as it was when it was first penned. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. John 15 and 9 says, "As the Father hath loved me," this is Jesus, "as the Father," or the Spirit of creation, "hath loved me, so have I loved you." In that same way, we love based on how we have been loved, whether you understand that or not. Because of the Father's love, he loves. So happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. We honor you for your positive influence in our lives. And we are all a product of the influence that our fathers and our mothers have produced in us. We have values based on that. I want to thank everyone who sent cards and expressed their sympathy for the loss of my sister. Tuesday we had the funeral, and my niece put up a picture board and some of the pictures I haven't seen in many years. And one of the pictures was my father in a rowboat when we were on a vacation together. And how important it was. I remember talking to my sister about the two vacations that we basically went on. But they are etched in my mind forever. And part of the love that I have for going into northern Wisconsin is because that's what we did, you know? It was projected. So much of what I am and what you are is because of your father's influences on you. My love for baseball and for hunting, you taught me how to throw a curveball. The love I have for going up north, and he was a carpenter, and I practically built my home. You know, as a young kid, I didn't see any value in it, but then when I had my own home, now all of a sudden I see the value of what he could teach me, you know. Without that influence, would you have a love for the things that you love right now? It's not DNA, it's something that is taught, it's something that you have experienced. There was an example in your life, and each of us have desired to have that influence, the influence of our Father especially, it needs to be there. And much of our life has been molded by that influence or lack thereof. I remember graduating from high school, and I think it was 30, no, maybe younger. That was a joke, folks. But it was one of the worst times of my life because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And maybe somebody here is like that. They're at a place where they just don't know what the future offers. And I had an uncle who was in insurance. My father did not have the wherewithal to give me any kind of advice in those areas, but he did, and I found myself going to school to become a claims adjuster. But unfortunately, some of you have not had that influence in your life. And it has left a father deficit, a hole in your life that has not allowed you to be satisfied or completely fulfilled. You haven't had a father to lay out a set of values to identify who you are. You're still wondering, who am I? And where is my value in this world? Or perhaps the father you had didn't take on the role of that nurturing father. Maybe a deceased father, deceased early in your life, or an absent father, or an alcoholic father, or a workaholic father, or even an abusive father in your life, and it left a hole in your life. And these kind of situations can leave not only a hole in your life, but it oftentimes turns to a wound in your life that just never heals, that you could carry on with the rest of your life not feeling totally fulfilled or complete because of the absence of that influence in your life. Yes, I can look back and establish a lot of my identity because of my father, but if your father was a disappointment, that doesn't make you the same. It doesn't make you a failure because your father didn't step up to the place where he should have, you see? I remember talking to someone whose father hurt them very deeply, mainly because of rejections over the years. And after his death, he still had this bitterness for him and because of him. And one day, he told me he went out to the graveyard and he just talked to the gravestone and said, "I forgive you." And it was a release in his life that he could now go on with his life and forget about the past, you see. You see, it wasn't the son's fault. It was the father's fault. And sometimes we take on, you know, that fault. Please don't carry it around as baggage or a failure in your life. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. A counselor in a prison, in a men's prison, was asked for Mother's Day's card to send to mothers. And it was just an overwhelming response. And they had to bring in boxes and boxes of Mother's Day's cards so they could write little notes to the mother and send in. And they anticipated, well, Father's Day is coming. And so they brought in boxes of Father's Day's card. But not one person wanted to send a Father's Day card. A study has shown that the majority of men in prison had no father influence in their life. We have ministered in the prison so many times, and we've had counseling with so many men, and they didn't have a role model. They didn't have an influence, you see. No identity of who they were and found that they were insecure and had to prove somehow that they were men in a wrong direction because no one had ever told them that they had value. You know, this whole book called the Bible is telling us that we have value. I don't care who you are, where you came from, what your background is, God's saying you have great value. One soul is worth more than the whole world. That's what the Bible says. Some have joined gangs because they didn't have a father, because they wanted some kind of authority, they wanted some kind of structure in their life. Some throw themselves into sports because there's a coach that tells them exactly what they need to do, because what they really want is a father who would tell them what's important. Okay, has this message been negative enough for you so far? The positive message is that while the earthly relationship can't always be healed, our Heavenly Father can fill that hole in our heart and restore those hurts and show you how important you really are. So turn to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And verse number 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have." Boy, that should be a message for this country. "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Doesn't matter if you fail, God's saying, I'm not leaving. I'm going to be there for you all of the time. And then if you go to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." So God is there for us all of the time. The problem is we can't always see him. Problem is we can't always feel him. We come into a service like this, we're able to worship God and physically feel the presence of God. And that's a comfort, that song that we sing all the time. "Let me feel your spirit one more time. Reassure me, Lord, that I am thine. I will never doubt you surely brought me out. Let me feel your spirit one more time." See, we're insecure. Do you still love me? Had a bad day. Said some things I shouldn't have. Did some things I shouldn't. Do you still love me? See, that's part of the role of the Father, to reassure. I'll still be there for you. Next week, next month, next year, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what your failures are. I'm going to be with you. Amen. And then if you'll turn to a very familiar scripture in John chapter 14 and verse number 18. You know, the disciples were fearful because Jesus is going to leave them. And here's what he says, "I will not leave you comfortless or orphans. I will come on to you." And it wasn't very long after that he did come onto them in the form of the Spirit in an upper room. How comforting was that? There's a theme throughout the New Testament that of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's the relationship of the flesh, that's us, with the Spirit, that's God. And so many times we have conversations that Jesus has with the Father or the Heavenly Father. It's the flesh communicating to the Spirit, not there are two gods. It confuses many because they think there are two gods talking, but it is the flesh talking to the Spirit, Jesus and his Father, the Creator. We read in our scripture text in Matthew 6 and 9, after this manner or in this way, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now he's saying use this as a formula. You don't just repeat it. You know, how many, including myself, have recited the Lord's Prayer so many times not knowing who our Heavenly Father really was? You know, it becomes a ritual or a tradition. It's almost a mindless thing that we go through. Even religion tries to fill the role of father by calling priests father. Yet in Matthew 23 and 9 it says, Jesus says, and call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven, Jesus, our Father. And now if you go back to John the 14th chapter, starting in verse number 8, very familiar for most of us, very powerful scripture identifying who the Father is. You know, the problem is there are so many people in this world have no idea who their Father is. They know who the mother is, but they don't know who the Father is. I know in Mexico, the greatest holiday they have is Mother's Day because the mothers many times have taken on the role of the father. So in John, the 14th chapter, in verse number 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father and suffice us. You know, I'm still a little confused. You know, I've been hearing you talk to the Father, but I don't exactly know. And Jesus answered, verse number 9, Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me, what? Hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And so we find that he's preparing them because they're not going to be able to see him anymore, but he's going to come on to them. How? In the form of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And what he's saying is, if you don't believe me because you hear me, if you don't believe me because you see me, believe me for the very works or the miracles. So someone walks into our door not familiar with Pentecost, and they see the body of Jesus. They hear the words of Jesus. But if you don't believe because you see the assembling of God's people together or even the reading of God's word, believe for the very work's sake. Miracles are common in this church, healings and so many signs and wonders in the church. And God's saying, that's how you understand who your Father really is. Show us the Father. Here we are, based on the power of God in every one of our services. We find in 1 Timothy 2 and 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Everywhere. See, the problem with men is that ladies don't have any problems worshiping, but there's something about men, fathers, who have a hard time displaying their emotions. And our children need to see their fathers worshiping God, as it said, everywhere. not just in church services, worshiping God at home, giving God thanks for all the things that he has done. Joshua said when Israel was half backslidden, you know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, you can do what you want. And there's going to be all kinds of challenges for fathers. Oh, yes, they can do what they want. But as for me and this house, we're going to serve God. As for me and my family, we're going to go to church. We're going to obey by the word of God. God didn't ask Moses to bring Joshua with him up to receive the law. He didn't say, hey, Joshua, could you come along with me up to the mountain? God has requested that I go up there. But that's what fathers do. They take their children with them to church. See? Because that's where the influence is. If you don't think it's important to bring your family to church when they're young, later when they're making their own decisions, there's going to be some problems, you see? Joshua was the one who lingered at the tabernacle even after Moses left. Where did Joshua's love for the things of God come from? From his spiritual father, Moses. He patterned his life after Moses. That's why he took the place of Moses. Someone's going to have to take my place, and someone's going to have to take your place. Based on what? You see. I knew very little about the things of God when I came into the church. My natural father didn't have the desire, nor did he have the knowledge of the things of God. He couldn't teach me those things that he didn't know. But I watched my spiritual father, my pastor. I hung on every message. I saw his priorities. I took on his values. I asked 10,000 questions. What do I do here? Show me what the scriptures say there. I developed the love for the things that he loved, including holiness. And by watching how he conducted his life, I patterned my own life accordingly. Much of what I've taught this congregation came from what I was taught and grasped. Who are you patterning your life after? That's the question. Our children will never become what we are not. You see, they're looking to you to be that prime example of what to do. And then later on, it'll just become natural. They will not deviate from the things that they have been taught because they understand that those were important things in my parents' life. They should be important in my life. Now, if I change my mind as a pastor of this church, don't you change your mind. What a pattern for life's eternal life we have in our Heavenly Father Jesus. He is our encourager, sometimes in the middle of the night. I wish I could call my dad or my mother, but they're gone. But I've got a God who answers at 2 o'clock in the morning. I know he's listening. It's not like, I'm sorry, there are business hours for God. You know, he's always has time for me when I come to the door. He never says, hey, could hold it, you know. I know sometimes I have lines of people wanting to talk to me, and that's a wonderful thing, but you don't have to wait in line for a million other people who want to talk to God. His letters speak to us in such personal terms from time to time, never harsh or condemning, allowing us to feel his presence even when we don't deserve to feel his presence. I have to confess to you, there are some times where I'm feeling the power of God, I'm thinking, God, why? Why do you allow me to feel your presence? I don't deserve it. Notice in the gifts of the Spirit, There are some times when God will rebuke this church in the gifts of the Spirit, in tongues interpretation, or any other form, but always concludes with encouraging words. He shows up when others don't. When others forsake you, he never does. Takes us up to the mountain when we didn't even ask to go. Like he took Paul to the third heaven, because he realized, you know what? I'm nothing. I'm nobody. That's who he wants to take. If we are looking for a role model, we have the greatest father in the whole world. If you'll turn to John, the 12th chapter. Verse 44. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." So he's saying that the Father sent me, and when you see me, you see the one who sent me. Also, if you'll turn to John, the 7th chapter, verse 37, I didn't give you that scripture. John 7 and 37, it says, "In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.'" Now listen to these words. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said." Okay, if you believe based on what the scriptures say, not religion, not tradition, but what the scriptures say, here's what's going to happen. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water." Well, what are you talking about? "But this spake he of the Spirit which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." And so what he's saying is, you have to believe according to what I have told you, and then you're going to experience the things that I want you to experience. Now, as a father, I represent our Heavenly Father. As a father, you represent your Heavenly. You have a role to play. And to my children, and even to the rest of the world, when they see me, they should see the Father. I'm the example. "Well, I don't understand." Well, when you see me, when you see the things that I value, you see the Father. And if we're Christians, we should be what? Christ-like? An example of what Jesus is. The Bible tells us that in the end times, children will be disobedient to parents. Anybody ever see that? Could it be that they are looking for the role model that hasn't been there for them? Could much of societal problems today that we're trying to legislate all could be taken care of with someone stepping up to be in the role of the father? You know what? Girls need fathers to demonstrate a loving relationship in the marriage. Those girls need to see that dad loves and sacrifices for their mother, so they can find a husband like their father's example. And many of the things that have gone wrong in marriages is because they didn't have that example. One of the most important roles of a father is to picture a spiritual role for their sons and daughters. You know what? Someday you're going to be used by God. I love your sensitivity. You know, you have a great voice for ministering. I believe that you can minister to God in music, you know. And what happens? It inspires them to do more for themselves and for God. My father was not one to compliment or demonstrate any kind of affection. It was that era where you just didn't allow yourself to be affectionate if you were a man. And as a result, I've had to learn the value of expressing my love for people that are around me because I never had that in my life. But I see a God that exhibited it all the time, wept before the grave of Lazarus, showed his emotion to all of his disciples. Fathers, tell your children how much you love them on a regular basis. Don't let anybody tell you that you're less of a man because you show your emotion. Compliment them when they do well. They're looking for affirmation, which gives them the confidence in their future. If they don't have that affirmation from that person, especially the father that says, I have come, you're going to go someplace, you're going to do well. Well, they'll have that confidence in order to do it. I'm looking at the picture with my dad in a fishing boat up north, and I realize how important it was that he just spent time with me. We lived in an old farmhouse with a space heater, and we didn't even have hot water in that farmhouse. But I didn't realize we were poor. We had happy times. Lived on a farm. It was like Disneyland every day, you know? Couldn't think of a happier childhood because, you know, we weren't on video games or Facebook or whatever. We were doing something together as a family. You see, your kids don't need more stuff to be happy. You know what they did? They need more time with you. They need to lock in some special moments, remembrances of when Dad took me here, the time he spent with me there. You know, he taught me how to bait a fish hook. My sister didn't want to, so he taught me how. Those are the things, those are the moments. I have locked in many special moments that I've had with my Heavenly Father. The times that He has spoken to me so directly, the times where I wasn't even praying and all of a sudden I felt the Shekinah glory of God on me, the times that He has delivered me from situations in my life and I can go back like the 12 stones in the Jordan River and remember what God has done for me. And then I have confidence to go on and know what my future is going to be like. I can't believe that He wants to spend time with me. But He does. See, I will not leave you comfortless, for I will come unto you. When? Sunday mornings? No. We don't limit the times. I'll come unto you whenever you want me. Just call and I'll be there. But He wants to. He does. And He wants to influence my life in every way. He wants to influence your life in every way because He's your Father. Would you stand with me? Well, as fathers, we all have failures and some regrets. But we'll never have any of that with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Glory to God. I thank God for my earthly father. I really do. But I'm so grateful that I found another father. Not just read a book about him. Church isn't a book report. It's a relationship, you see. Many of you know Brother Arcobio. He's one of the greater evangelists in our organization.